Today we take a look at the Good Shepherd and one of the most favored scripture pieces is this 23rd Psalm that we recited just a little bit ago. And this passage is obviously familiar to most of us. We've heard it on Good Shepherd Sunday every year, and then sometimes at a funeral, or sometimes we hear it at a confirmation, or other times in our lives from day to day. So I thought we'd take a moment to think about the depth of what is been given to us by David in this most popular and favored psalm that we have. Thinking of the shepherd and sheepfold and the gate that regards our life and protects in many ways sheep from the foe of wolves and those who would harm them in one way or another. So today we take a look at sheep and how serene they are in their pastures. And it was kind of hard to relate to that because we don't do a lot of shepherding in our own culture here, at least in Northwest Arkansas. Now, further west, you run into sheep farms that are running by the hundreds. And if you travel on the western side, you probably run into a situation where you're driving down the road and you have to stop because a flock of sheep are crossing the road. It gets to be a little bit more obvious. So we have adversities that sheep face in their lives. In the epistle lesson, we heard Paul admonishing the Ephesian Christians about wolves that are going to come and try to destroy the faith and lead people away from their walk and their trust in the Lord. And it's no different in our church. The devil works hardest with us so that he might sway us or deceive us and move us in a way opposite of our Lord's favor. So we see adversities in our life, and often the adversities are there to test our faith. We ask, who cares? Does anybody care? And often people feel, well, who does care? Sad if that is the feeling within a congregation or in a church setting, but it's even more so when we run out into the public square. Nobody cares. And then often people are asking the question, does God care? Why and how do adversities affect us? Well, this psalm helps us to understand the relationship between God and us, and that he does care no matter what goes on in our lives. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so we ask ourselves, what are your wants? What are your wants? Well, wouldn't be obvious, wouldn't it? You want a shepherd? You want a pastor? In fact, I think you're going about the opportunity of calling a pastor next Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. And you've been waiting and waiting and waiting. It seems like a long time. It really hasn't been all that many months, but it seems like a long time. And it seems like whenever a congregation is in vacant situation, or we call it transition, that time seems to slow down. And it seems like, oh, how can it take so long? And yet God has his timing, and we need to understand God's timing in all of this. Because what is our want? We want things instantly. We live that way in our world. I want a quick meal. We go to fast food, don't we? We want to go to the store. You've got thousands of things to choose from in stores. And we think, I can get what I want now. Or we often say, I wanted it yesterday. Yeah. So we have our wants. And some of those wants are desirable. We want a shepherd. We want to have God's blessing poured out upon us. We want to see the kingdom of God grow. We'd like to see the empty spaces in these pews filled. We have lots of wants. And then you could add the wants that you are experiencing in your own lives and family lives. We want good health, or we want security of one sort or another. We want just peace among relationships. All of those wants are there. And yet, what does Jesus say? And what does the psalmist say? I shall not want, because God and his promises to provide. I shall not want. Patience. Next week we're going to talk about being impatient and the sin of impatience. But today, I shall not want. So, what are we thinking about? Are we self-serving? We say, well, there's just never enough. I'm always short of cash. And it comes up that it kind of looks like that the grass just isn't green anymore. So where do we go from here? Because we put on a glass, almost like a dark glass, that says, I can't see any blessings anymore. I can't see what God is doing. Almost blinded spiritually. And so we say, the grass isn't green. But in reality, God is making it greener. He provides. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. The point is, are we submissive to Jesus? Are we really open to his leading? Are we sensitive to his guidance? Because he's there for us. Or are we going to follow Jesus? We say we do. We're committed to it. But are we really committed to it 24/7? And how easily we slip away and we say, well, I don't know. I get a little nervous when I listen to the news. Or I get a little nervous when I see the weather report. Or I get a little nervous about the financial records. You know, you look at all these things and you say, where is my trust? Who are you following? Will you let Jesus restore you? Let Jesus rebuild and strengthen you. Refocus your attention back to him. Back to his promises, back to his presence in your life, because that's where it goes. We have to trust Jesus and build that trust more and more and more. And as we worship, as we read the word, as we pray, as we walk with God day by day, that trust continues to strengthen. As we gather in groups to study the word and reflect and hear each other talk about their walk with God, their struggle with things on this earth, and their prayer life with God, those things build our trust in Jesus and his promises in our lives as well. So those things are significant in our spiritual life, because Jesus desires and is our good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Gospel of John, Jesus speaking, I am the good shepherd. several I Ams in the New Testament about Jesus that he speaks. This one is really a classic, I am the good shepherd. And how often we hear reference to the Lamb of God in Revelation that we heard earlier. Emphasis on Jesus, the good shepherd, and his relationship with us, caring for us. Because Jesus works on restoring us, and it focuses on the cross. It focuses on his blood shed for us. The Lamb's blood cleanses us and makes us white as snow, so that we are restored, new in creation. It focuses on the cross of Christ. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, Jesus is with us. And just before he ascended into heaven, what did Jesus say to his disciples and to us? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Earlier in his ministry, he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in your midst. And that's why we think of Jesus being on and with us. And we have that reminder as we gather in worship. We have that reminder again as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, where he comes and gives us himself and assures us of his presence in our body, in our life, from day to day, because Jesus is with us. His good shepherd travels with us and is around us no matter what happens. Because it's so easy for us to get distracted. It's so easy for us to get focused in some other direction than to Jesus and the cross. This psalm helps us refocus and retool our thinking, for our comfort and our hope is in Jesus and his promised shepherding in our life. So what are you running from? There's all kinds of things to run from. Fear, danger, seeking security in some way. We know how sheep behave when there are dogs chasing them. In fact, that's how they get shepherded and corralled, is through the work of these animals. But sheep know there's something going on, and they run for security. They don't know where to run, and they go kind of every direction because they don't have the right direction until they know the shepherd's voice. They'll run to the shepherd. They'll recognize his voice specifically. Just like when you answer the phone, you recognize the voice on the other end easily if you know who it is. So also we need to know the shepherd's voice and be tuned in to his walk, his presence in our lives as well. So are you headed for the gate, the secure place? Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. There's the key. He is the door. He is the only way in which we can find the best security in life. It's in Christ. So it's constantly there for us to find and seek the gate and follow in that gate for our rescue and restoration. In this psalm, God has inspired David to give us some very subliminal truth about his care for us. Let's read this psalm together again. But I want you to focus on the personal pronouns. I, me, my. Let's read together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did anybody happen to count how many personal pronouns there are? I forgot to tell you to count, but in there was 17 pronouns. Now, why was the Holy Spirit moved to include here 17? There's a significance in 17. And it's all about God's care for his people. It goes back all the way to Noah, where Noah will be secure. Remember, God spoke to Noah, I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. But I will establish my covenant with you, Noah, and you will enter the ark. Yeah, you can just imagine Noah saying, what? And then 100 years to build that ark. And of course, if any of you have seen Sight and Sound Theater's presentation of Noah, that was an awesome understanding of the opposition and how it was for Noah when people were excluded from the ark, except his family. Well, now, what do you think 17 has to do with that? Well, we look. It's in the 600th year of Noah's life. On the 17th day of the second month, on that very day, Noah and his family, his sons, together with their wives, entered the ark. And then, at the end of the journey, about 180 days later or so, on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat. 17. God rescued Noah and his family on the 17th day. So, in Jewish understanding, 17 became the word or the number for security, for protection, for rescue from the judgment of God. So when David is writing this psalm and he includes 17 personal pronouns, the Spirit of God is using him to convey to the people, God is securing you. God is protecting you. God is rescuing you. God is over you. And how significant that is for our walk with God from day to day. That we know we are in the hand of the Lord and that he will watch over us no matter what we have to face. That we are always in the focus of the Lord's presence and that we trust the hand of the Lord as we live day from day to day. That's what this psalm does for us. And no matter whether we're dealing with life or death, we're in the hands of the Lord eternally. That's the blessing that God would have us grasp as we say and remember and even memorize this psalm or repeat it, that we kind of delve in the care and the protection and the promise of that care that this psalm conveys to us. So in conclusion, we think that God is, Jesus is the good shepherd. He cares so we can be secure. He provides. We dine well. Dine in his word. We dine at the sacrament and Holy Communion. We recognize his love for us and his promises given to us, no matter what. And we recognize that he protects us. Be at peace. God's caring love surrounds you. Now, it doesn't mean you're never going to have an accident. It doesn't mean you're never going to get injured or something else goes on. But it does mean God is going to be around you no matter what you face in life. Remember that. And finally, therefore, dwell with God. Dwell with his God in house, in worship. Now and then eternally will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the gift God gives us in our faith, so that we can celebrate his love for us from day to day. Peter, in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, writes this, often used as a benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. So the good shepherd provides, and I shall not want. May you be blessed with that comfort, no matter what the future brings for you, that you shall not want, because Jesus, the Good Shepherd, provides all I need. God grant it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.